Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here, and joining me, love it when I get to do this radio program, with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Dave Stoop. Hi, guys.
Hey, Steve.
How you doing?
I'm okay.
We're doing good. How are you? We lost you there for a moment.
Well, I was reaching back behind me because I want to talk about this new thing, and I've been mentioning it on the radio in September. But it's a brand new book, and it's going to be a series, and it's called Kirby McCook and the Jesus Chronicles. And, you know, many of you know, Solomon said to me, Dad, these great, interesting books about these stories about Greek gods, I know so much about this. Why isn't there something that's clever and fun and funny that would teach us Bible stories? So here it is. We've been working on it for 2 years. Marcus Brotherton is the co-author. This guy, he's a New York Times best-selling author who just did this out of the goodness of his heart. Here is the subtitle, A 12-Year-Old's Take on the Totally Unboring, Slightly Weird Stuff in the Bible, Including Fish Guts, Wrestling Moves, and Stinky Feet. Now, here's the deal. If you're a parent or a grandparent and you've got an 8 to like 11 or 12-year-old, these are Bible studies taught by a 12-year-old. And the illustrations are fantastic. And if you want to, it's the answer to everything. You teach the child truth. You look cool in doing it because it's really funny. And they crack up. You crack up. You will not be disappointed. But this is our gift to anybody that gives a donation of any amount. And it is the ultimate grandparent to child or parent to child Christmas gift. So, that will teach them.
Yeah, I want one. I got to have one.
So what's the target age group for this book?
8 to 12. Okay. Or 8 to, you know, it just depends.
It could be 8 to 11.
8 to 42.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay, got it.
But, you know, when I was growing up, the best Bible teaching that I got was from Mrs. Mendel, who read Bible stories to us after lunch in third grade, when you could do that in schools. And there really hasn't been a great Bible story book since then that, as Francis Schaeffer said, you know, the Bible needs to be recommunicated into every new generation. Mm-hmm. And this is what we're trying to do here in a language that they will love. So anyway, it's our gift, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you want to give us a gift of any amount, we'll send you. It's hardcover. It's a $17.99 hardcover book, and we'll give it to you, gift of any amount. Let's start with, how about we talk with Aaron, Fort Collins, Colorado, listens on the internet. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good, Steve. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, okay. Good to talk to you.
The question I have is this. Do you hear me okay?
Sure.
Sure can.
Okay. All right. It can be spotty here sometimes. Question is, I've been in counseling over 10 years, same counselor, been over a lot of good solid ground together. I don't agree with him on everything. Currently, the disagreement I have has to do with dating. I've gone out with a gal 8 or 9 times, and he challenged me to ask her, make it official. Also, the big kicker is asking me to introduce my child to her. And I disagree with that. I voiced that. And the catch is, I said that I would ask this gal. I said I would introduce her to my child. And coming away, I'm going, no, I am not going to do this. And so how would I approach? How would I approach this? I like to keep my word and say I'm going to do something, but...
All right, hold on. Hold on, we'll help you right after this.
I came into this thinking that my husband was the cause of many of our issues.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Columbus, Ohio, October 25th to the 27th.
But after learning about our attachment styles, I understood how our past hurts were playing into our present problems.
Join Steve Arterburn.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together, and we believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylon and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship, and then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
To register to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or go to newlife.com.
Here at this workshop, we had our first ever conversation without yelling, blaming, and accusing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You need some help? Boy, do we have some help for you. We're talking to Aaron right now on radio. That number is 1-800-229-3000. Aaron, a question for us, or we were thinking about, you know, what is his motive, or what's he trying to overcome here? What's behind the pressure, especially to introduce your child to her? Is there something you've dealt with and in counseling, or that, you know, he thinks, well, maybe he's trying to help me with this or that? What do you think?
Right. Yeah. What I've been working through, I've been divorced 13 years. Haven't, always getting over the hump of putting myself out there to a woman, risking being rejected, taking the step to get over fear of dating, fear of marriage. It's been a while to even work to this point, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Okay, so that's kind of what I was thinking, that maybe this has been a long process. This, your therapist knows you really well, and so he is trying to give you a little push. Right? And so at the same time, I think it is okay to disagree, and sometimes our growth involves being able to disagree and be okay with that. You gave him your word, but it sounds like a little bit under duress, like you just finally agreed with him or agreed to do it.
Yeah.
And I think it's okay to go back and say, you know, I've been thinking more. Ever since I agreed to do this, it's just not sitting right with me. So much so I was asking other people. And so I need to work through being able to disagree with you. And also looking at why you might be pushing me. So maybe there's a compromise there.
Well, and here's the other thing.
Yeah, hopefully there is.
Well, there is.
Yeah,
there has to be.
Because you're an adult and you get to decide.
And
I would reckon. I would reckon so. I know that he would ask me, okay, Aaron, why do you continue that you just can't go any further with this? And I could say, well, I'm afraid of being rejected, but it's like, what, you know, what else could I say? It would feel like a dead end.
Well, why are
really
you, okay.
willing to get to the bottom of this.
Okay, but you don't want to introduce your child at this point. Is that about you being rejected?
No, I would say not.
Okay. So maybe that's a separate issue.
Well, I think that it isn't appropriate, given all the conflict and stuff that you're dealing with in your dating life and all in commitment. I don't think it's appropriate for the kids to meet her. I do think it is appropriate for, after all of this time, and obviously he must believe that this is really a quality person that you brought along, that he's kind of saying it's time, and you either need to go one way or the other, and that can be a really good thing. So, but here's the thing.
Yeah.
Here's how you be a man of your word, but not do something that you've decided you can't do. Being a man of your word means I either do what I said I'm going to do, or I go back to the person and say, here's why I can't do what I said I was going to do. See, that you're still a man of your word, because you didn't just not do it. You came back and you said, here's why I can't do that.
You negotiated.
Be like, you know, let's just say you made a pledge at church to give $1,000, and the next day you lose your job. Well, you want to be a man of your word. So you go and you talk to the pastor and say, ooh, you need to know that I did that, and then this happened, and I don't have that. So I don't think you should ever feel locked in to do something that after considering it further, you realize this isn't going to be good, especially for my kids. But I do think we can't ignore the fact that you don't want to be wasting people's time if you're not going to come through and make a commitment. Right?
I understand. Yeah.
Her clock is ticking. Everybody's clock is ticking. And you need to either, I would say, take it to the next level or tell her, I don't have it in me to take us beyond where we are right now. And you need to know that. And everything's out on the table.
Right.
And maybe the relationship isn't at the level where you introduce the child in terms of where you're at. So that becomes a legitimate basis to renegotiate.
Well, right. And thinking that through, when would you feel comfortable introducing your children? What would you need to see? Or are you just using that as an excuse to not further the relationship, right? Look at them as separate issues and see if you're using one against the other.
I understand. Okay.
One final thing. Great. How do you think she feels about you? Do you think she wants to step things up a little bit?
Hard to say. She keeps wanting to get together, and so that's promising for me. I don't know. I'm not reading anything, so I figure I'm not a mind reader, and I'm probably not going to start now, so I simply need to pony up, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, if she's wanting to continue to get together, that's a really good sign.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would reckon that it is. Yeah. So.
I'll tell you, you sure don't want to. You don't want to miss out on a great partnership that could be so amazing for you and your kids, just because you're avoiding the rejection thing. So, hate to bring it up, but you know, we got a Finding Freedom workshop where somebody that isn't stepping up the commitment because they're afraid of rejection could get free from that, could find freedom, resolve that, get on the right path. And so I'm going to suggest you look into that. And, you know, I'm going to send you a copy of Is This the One? I just gave it to somebody else the other day, and I hope that could be helpful to you. Please, please, you know, don't abandon that therapist.
Right.
I think he's really trying to help you move into another level of life.
And he certainly knows you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, let's go to David's calling from Dallas, Texas, KWRD. Hi there. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing okay. What's going on in your life today?
Yeah, well, I just wanted to call in. My question, I guess, is, I guess I have to kind of give you a little background, but basically about a year and a half ago, my wife found out that I was looking at porn, and so I have totally confessed, repented, on and on and on. We've gone to counseling. We've done all of the things. You know, I know that's what you guys always ask is, what have you done? And I feel like I've done everything that's been asked of me. We've on and on and on. My question is, how do I help my wife moving forward in life whenever, you know, we're kind of like in a culture surrounded by this problem. You know, as far as she's concerned, you know, it's like anywhere I go, whether it's the park or it's on my front porch or anywhere, like, there could be, you know, a threat to her, quote unquote. So it's like, how do I help her? How do I convince her that, you know, I'm okay, I'm better, I'm changed, I'm different, on and on and on. How do I, you know, my word.
How long ago was this? How long ago was this that she discovered it?
Year and a half.
Year and a half. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. So, and how long had you been involved with the problem?
It was 16 years.
Okay. All right. And in the year and a half since, have you relapsed at all? Have you gotten back into it at all?
None. Nothing.
None. Okay. Good. All right.
No hiccups. Nothing.
Yeah. Well, Jill, you might want to address just what an affront this is to a woman and how it is just one of those things that doesn't quickly go away.
Right. And David, how long have you been married?
About 17 years.
Okay. So 17 years married, and you've had this problem for 16 mm-hmm. years. So
correct.
Within the first year of your marriage, this came onto the scene. Okay, so for a woman, you know, she's just discovering this now. And she's looking back, realizing that her whole marriage, this has been a part of it. This has been the secret in the marriage. And she didn't know it. Mm-hmm. And yet, you know, maybe she knew there was something amiss, but she didn't know what. And so all those years... Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I think that's kind of part of the problem is that it was totally, you know, blindsided. She never. We have a great marriage. We had a great marriage. We have a great marriage. I mean, we really connect on and on and on. But I think that's part of the problem is that she was totally blindsided, never saw this coming. And so now I'm like, hey, everything's okay. And she's like, well, I've been hearing that for 16 years.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know,
Yeah. She doesn't trust your words, David, because you weren't honest with her. And she feels like she's been fooled. And this, you know, when a woman thinks she's got something really solid and finds out it's not what she thinks, I mean, that just cuts her to the quick that you would be doing things outside of the relationship, right? That are a compromise to the relationship.
We do for women the Restore workshop.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, I think that would be good.
She's been.
Okay. Oh, good.
And,
okay.
And did that not help at all?
Not with this area. I mean, she enjoyed it, and it was good for her, and she, you know, it was great, you know, to have the camaraderie and all that. So it was good, but I mean, it doesn't change the fact that she, you know, is constantly in fear, you know, of anything that may, you know, come. I mean, we don't, you know, come close to us or any kind of threat to her. And
It's only been a year and a half, and I know for you that feels like forever. For her, that's just, you know, 1/17th of the marriage, right? It's just a blip.
Right.
And so what's hard, I think, for so many people, you know, when, like, someone like you, when you've come clean, you want her to be on board with that. But it's going to take her a long time, a much longer time, and it's delayed for her, right? So you've got to be doing well. Your actions need to be backing up your words for a long time.
Yeah, they are.
And, well, good, good. And so that's an important thing. And I think you need to ask her, what can I do that communicates a sense of, you know, that I'm trustworthy to you or a sense that you trust me?
So just to give you one more little question. Mm-hmm. So I think it was maybe yesterday's program. I don't remember when, but... a guy called in. He was saying, you know, I feel like God's not going to forgive me because of my, you know, porn problem or whatever. And I don't know if it was you or somebody, maybe Alice, said that, you know, an occasional slip up is normal or something like that. And so, of course, she had like a minor meltdown, you know, thinking that that's possible. Of course, for me, it is not possible. So what do I tell her? You know, it's like, you know, when you know, that option or that people say that, it just terrifies her to the core, even though
of course.
To me it's like that will never happen.
Okay, so instead of convincing her, I'm sorry, Dave.
Go ahead.
Instead of convincing her, I think you need to hear her. And you need to hear what she's so afraid of.
And you need to show her that by your behavior that what she, ask her what she sees in your behavior that could reassure her that everything's okay.
Right.
And begin to get the credit for rebuilding trust. But it takes a long time, as Jill says.
It seems like your your level of communication is going to have to be at some other level, such as if you're going to go to the park, you're going to have to say to her, okay, so we're going to the park, and remember last time, boy, this was kind of traumatic. So should we talk about something, or should you tell me don't look there? How do we stay present with each other at the park? I'm not going to be looking at stuff. But if you're worried about me looking, then we're not at the park together. I'm at the park, and I'm wanting to be with you, but you're in the future of me relapsing. You're down the road. And so could we talk about, oh, honey, I just went away from us. I'm not present right now because I'm worried about this woman that's around the corner, whatever. Now that brings her back present to you. But I think the challenge is staying present, which is uncomfortable when you've got an excuse to go off, you know, and be in the fear, be in the projected horror. So you're going to have to somehow bring her back to the present.
Most of my life I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man, and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me, and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and I really do believe that the word willingness is, it's kind of the order of the day. And we have to reach a point where we're willing to say, okay, well, what I've done, what you've done, it's not enough. We're not together. We're not building something here. We've got to go to the next level. We're not just willing to do what everybody else has done. We need more. So what does that mean? Well, you know, I think in this instance, we have a wife that's got stuff she needs to work on. The husband continues to need to work. But it seems like we do the weekend marriage thing. Maybe you could go to a one-week marriage intensive. I don't know what it is. But it seems like the marriage now is the issue. Mm-hmm. And especially if what Jill is kind of saying here, that she views maybe the whole past 16 years are kind of not even existent. That it
it's
was
like
all
it's all it's all been a lie.
Yeah. I'm going to send you Healing is a Choice. That's one thing worthy of her trust for you. I hope and pray that you guys won't give up on doing whatever it takes. But most likely, she's got some hard work ahead of her, and you need to You need to have the attitude of, I will do whatever it takes. I brought this into our marriage. I will do whatever it takes to bring us back to that place where we can be present with each other, even in the most difficult of circumstances.
Right. And just a reminder, there's no going back to the old marriage. And sometimes when someone has a problem, it's like, okay, well, it's done now. I'm fixed. And like we want to go back to normal as if it hadn't happened. And there's a new normal that needs to develop here. And one that's on a deeper level where, you know, both people are broken, but you're bringing that into relationship.
Yeah, that's right. All right, well, how about we talk with Leroy? We'll go to him next. First, we'll go to Jim, Charlotte, North Carolina. Sirius XM is the channel he listens to, 131 at 10 a.m. Pacific. How you doing, Jim?
Hey, good. My question, and I'm not trying to be funny in any way, but am I married or am I not married? And here's just a tad bit of background. End of this past January, two of my pastors married me and my wife. It was an informal ceremony. Probably took about 20 minutes. I mean, we hit it off so good, and we both knew what we were looking for. We're in our 50s, and we ended up selling our homes and buying another home together. Anyway, my two pastors married us, and I moved over to her town so that, you know, we could buy a house together, which we did. And we set a date to have a formal wedding for family and friends. Okay. And all this time for the past 7 months, we've been hitting it off. I mean, we don't even argue or yell at each other. But I made a comment the other day, and we're both Christians, by the way. And I told her that, you know, our Christian walks would be a reflection of what goes on in our home should be a reflection of our Christian walk and what we allow in the house and not. And I think she took offense to that, and somehow she started talking to her pastor on and off about our relationship. Anyway, they both showed up at the home one day and asked me to come upstairs, and they're sitting there in the living room, and she looks over at me, and out of the blue, she just says, "We're not compatible," and spiritually. And then her pastor looks at me and says, "You know, God doesn't recognize your marriage because you must submit to the governing authorities and the law of the land," of course, you know.
Okay.
And
so what's the question for
her?
Us?
That Yeah. The question is, since we did not actually do a binding legal marriage license, you know, to me, I feel like I'm married. But according to what he is saying and what she is believing him, that she is not bound to me. And she's already walked out of the house, walked out of the marriage, and is pursuing other means.
Jim, these are the same pastors that married you? That did the ceremony?
No.
Or different pastors?
No, this is different. This is her pastor, the church that she's been going to for years, that we were going to together. And
let me get to the...
Even, yeah.
Okay, so now let's look at the relationship here. You guys didn't argue, things like that. What about the relationship might you have not been attuned with? Sometimes people don't argue because they don't feel like it's safe or something like that. And, of course, people that argue oftentimes end up with some of the most powerful bonds together because they work through stuff rather than harbor resentment. So if you were someone looking at your situation, what... other than this thing you said that one day, what else might she not be so happy about in the relationship?
Right. Well, we had talked about, like I just said, about, you know, I don't want to sound legalistic about it, but I think she took an offense at me. I wouldn't say putting my foot down, but as far as the, I think she was seeing us more spiritually incongruent instead of, and that was drawing us apart emotionally and she wanted to be affirmed that that wasn't the case, and I guess I wasn't doing too much of a good job at that. She saw me as being like a holier-than-thou type of personality, and that's not what I was trying to be at all. And
we'll be back right after this.
God pulled me out of the gutter of my life that I was living in.
I have done a lot of work over the last 40 years. This is the first time I've ever felt love.
I've had such a wonderful weekend here, and for the first time in a long time, I've felt at home.
And the Lord has set me free from my mother's story about me not being good enough.
The New Life Finding Freedom Workshop is coming to Dallas, Texas, September 20th to the 22nd.
We're going
to
talk about forgiveness and codependency. We're going to understand that family of origin, the unhealthy reactions to it. We're going to talk about the cycle of shame and surrender and developing the plan that moves us forward. There'll be 8 teaching sessions and 6 small group sessions.
To register or to learn more about the Finding Freedom Workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I am living a new life, and I believe that I have the resources and tools to continue that.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and we're talking with Jim. Jim, help us out here. What is it within you and her where you decide, let's get married, but we don't need a marriage license? Tell me about your faith, your denomination, whatever. How did you end up with that situation?
Well, I mean, we were, she's been going to a Baptist church, and I'm more non-denominational, but, you know, we dated for a while, which, you know, we knew what we liked in each other, and nothing that we saw, you know, rubbed each other the wrong way, but, you know.
But why didn't you get a marriage license? I've heard all that before. Why didn't you guys get a marriage license?
Well, we got married on a whim one weekend. We were so much in love that we didn't want to go down and consummate the marriage without being actually married and committed to each other and making a covenant between one another. And I didn't want to jump in. Let's say this: didn't want to jump under the sheets, you know, with anyone unless I knew God was in it,
why didn't you then the next day the courthouse is open, why didn't you go get a marriage license?
And well, that's a good question. We just thought, since we were going to plan a formal wedding for family friends, we would do it then and there, and September, which is coming up. But that's why we didn't do it. We just put it off until our formal wedding, which we had set.
I think it's a bit naive to think that this one conversation that you had with her, would cause her to say, "I'm going to leave." Especially if you guys are so connected to the church. So you have to go. Yeah. The only hope I think you have is you have to do some soul searching, and you have to come up with some things that maybe were beyond that, and you have to see what happens when you find those and confess those to her.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And she says we got, of course, we got married too fast, which, you know, we probably did. But and she also has said, you know what, we just need to hit the reset button and start over. But, you know, she's hearing all this from the other side about, you know, how she was never married to begin with, and you mm-hmm. know how she's not. How do I say?
So, what would it look like to set the reset button and start over?
Starting out as friends.
Oh, going that far
dating
back.
That's hard to do.
Start dating slowly again and just working our way up, you know, and not.
So,
I mean,
because I think you guys got excited about the relationship. You know, were in that infatuation period, right? You wanted to have sex, so you kind of covered yourselves, so to speak, so that you could jump into that. And now, you know, the honeymoon is over, and you're starting, you know, at this point in a relationship, you start to see the things that you don't like about the other person. And so as the hormones dissipate and those things come up, I mean, this is where you need the commitment and the legal binding agreement to keep you hanging in there.
Mm-hmm.
This is the very reason why we have marriage license now.
And in the meantime, I would be saying to this pastor, I hear what you're saying. I wish we had gotten a license. But the fact is, we did have a ceremony, and we consummated the marriage that we thought was created that day. So let's don't dishonor God by throwing all of that away. Now let's go. Let's go slow. We can reset. We can do some things, but let's literally don't disregard all the things that have happened. And there's no question that you guys made a huge mistake of moving so quickly, and there were other options you had other than this, but that's water under the bridge. And you know, people do this in different versions. Oh, we never should have gotten married. They've been married 20 years, and people do this.
Yeah,
I would want her to be viewed as a wonderful, worthy human being, and I would want her to be honored, and you guys did. Again, you consummated this relationship.
Right.
So I think you ought to be humble, and you ought to go beyond what you've said to us was wrong, and confess and be open and humble, and don't, you know, and just listen and ask. But I would also be talking with that elder or that pastor yourself, the one she's talking to, and let him hear that you have an honorable heart that wants to be an honorable man to her.
And there was definitely a marriage spiritually, even though there wasn't a legally secular marriage, wasn't legally consummated. But it was certainly you made the covenants before God, and in God's eyes, I'd say you're married, and start there.
Yeah, that would be the approach, because what good comes from this when they walk away from this after, you know, they have been intimate with each other and they were trying to do the right thing, even though it was way too fast.
They made a mockery of what they were trying to.
Yeah.
Honor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. That's right. All right. Well, I hope that's helpful. Oh, my goodness. That's a tough one. Let's talk to Larry Sonnenberg here. We don't have a lot of time in this segment, but Larry, help us here. That's why we're here. Those kinds of situations. You need help.
I'm telling you, I feel like God's flowing here, because the testimony I wanted to share today was about a couple who were given as a gift going to our workshop for marriage, and they went. And they didn't know the person who gave them the gift, so they wrote a note to us to extend to them. And so they're saying thank you, and they're impressed with the counselor that they had. Said he had a wonderful, absolutely wonderful counselor. His views on divorce were very simple. Divorce was simply not an option, and I liked that, as it left no wiggle room. He showed us in Scripture that divorce is a hardening of the heart, and God never wants us to harden our hearts, but always to forgive as we are forgiven. And then he goes on and says, we'd come to our breaking point after being separated for over 6 months and being both with other people. It didn't look good for us. Thankfully, God has always had different plans for us, our marriage and our family. God used you and the people of New Life to change many things and help get us turned around. Although we still struggle and still have a bit of a battle, I have hope for us now that I didn't have before we went to your workshop.
Great.
Folks, if you can support a ministry that does that for people, that helps people who are hurting, in a mess, struggling with relationships, whatever their issues, and get pointed to how God would want them to live and the steps they need to take to get there, that's why we seek your support. That's exactly why we seek your support. And it makes a difference.
Yeah, it's for really those tough cases, and we love seeing God to do something through us, and your support is the only way that it happens. And then when it does, you're part of that transformation. So call us, please help us if you possibly can. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Larry, I want to tell you why I think people might want to support this ministry. There are many well-meaning people in ministry. Well-meaning people. Their motive is to help folks. But motive and meaning doesn't make you wise. Mm. And it doesn't mean that you're giving good counsel to folks. And I'll tell you, there's an internal accountability with our people where we're talking about what's our approach here? What are we saying in these instances? We're not just making it up as we go along, and we're not just out there renegades just saying whatever we want to say. And I just hope and pray that, you know, we go beyond meaning well, which is common. We want people to experience wisdom from God's word as it applies directly to their very, very difficult situation. So if you can help us, you call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Steve, one thing you said just triggered a thought, and that was, I was reminded, you believe what you believe as much of Scripture as that which you do. Mm-hmm. And people say they believe all these things, but they're not doing it. And so I just want to encourage you, if you believe in New Life, would you do it? Would you make a gift and show that belief? That would be really helpful.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So thank you.
Thank you, Larry. All right. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That is the phone number to call. If you can help us, we'll take a break. We'll come right back. Final segment here on New Life Live. You know, in my own life, I never cease to be amazed at all of the trouble that I cause myself when I'm out there on my own. I just like to challenge people that are in advice-giving roles in the church where somebody's life, their marriage, the future is on the line. Ask somebody. Humble yourself down. Ask some people, what do you think about this? You know, here's my position, but am I missing it? Is there something that I ought to be considering beyond this? Because it really matters what we see.
Said, we need to talk. She's asked me for the first time if I would consider myself a sex addict. You know, I thought it was just about admitting the things that I had done wrong. I never had a clue that it was about redeeming our story. You know, I thought it was just about coming clean on what I had done. I had no idea how to help her with her pain. She was a mess, I was a mess, and we got divorced. Going to EMB, surrounding myself with these other men, they accepted me for who I was and what I had done, but they challenged me to step up and do better. You know, they'll be around other men who are not just pointing the finger, but willing to get in and wade through it with them, you know, get in the trenches. They'll get hope from this workshop. Take my sweet wife and my story. We were divorced, remarried, and on our way to what I think will be the sweetest years of our lives. You know, it's no longer simply about surviving. For the first time ever, you know, we're thriving, we're enjoying where we're at.
Hey, listen, if you're struggling, we want to see you at the workshop. Give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to
fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard, The Secrets Women Keep, Forgiving Your Fathers and Mothers, Dr. Dave Stoop. We've edited the Life Recovery Bible together. If you don't have a copy, it could really, really help you. Really could. Let's go to the phones. This will be our final caller here today. Let's go to Leonard, Inglewood, California, KKLA. Hi there. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Good morning, Steve, and your wonderful anointed crew. How are you doing this morning?
Good.
Good.
Thank you.
That's good.
How can we help you?
I'm calling in about marriage. Marriage being the topic. I'm still married to my wife, but we're separated. We've been separated for about 4 or 5 years. But I want to reconcile. The movie Courageous really inspired me with the resolution in that movie, and that's something that I'm living my life to do. I know we have wills. My wife, she has her will, and I have my will. But I want to truly reconcile and get back with my wife so we can be about kingdom business, because I know God placed us together.
Okay, I want you to shock me here. I want you to shock me, because a lot of times people will go to a movie, and they after that movie, they have a lot of desire. They want things to happen. They want reconciliation, restoration, okay? But
right.
The question is, do they have willingness? And so I want you to shock me, because most people that in your position, they really want things to get better. But they didn't walk out of that movie, and they didn't do much different, other than hope it can all come back together. Did you do anything differently with your life after that movie?
No, I haven't done what you have advised to many people as far as the weekend marriage that you guys offer.
Okay.
Basically, I've been just seeking God and then also talking to my wife, but far as getting, and that's why the call is today, because I was saying that we've been separate. Yeah.
So I would make a call to my wife, and I'd say this: you know what? I went to that movie, and I wanted us to be restored, but I've kind of come to my senses and realized I didn't do anything that would motivate you or make you believe this thing's going to be different. All I've done is talk to you and talk to God. And let me tell you, here's what I'm going to do. And put together a little plan, and you tell her, here's what I'm doing. I'm seeing a counselor. I'm going to this. Hey, would you join me for that thing? And when she starts feeling and seeing that kind of action, I think you might have a chance at getting this thing back together. But if it stays at the talking level, you're trying to convince her this is what God wants, all this kind of stuff, I don't know. Jill, Dave, what do you guys think?
Well, it's got to have both of you committed to make a difference, because one person can start it, but it takes two to make it continue and to make it work. Where is your wife in this process?
Right now, my wife, she lives in another city, basically not really seeing it that way. She has her own desire to just live her life the way she wants. But I agree with all what you're saying, is that as far as me being the spiritual leader, I need to introduce or share with her something that I know that can make a difference. And counseling is, that's why I love listening to you guys. You guys are blessed to be a blessing. I appreciate all that y'all do. And that's why I made the call today, because I've always listened to y'all, but I decided to make the call today. And knowing that what you have told me, that's what I already know to do.
Okay.
Well, let me tell you this. You really need to couch what you're doing, not in terms of I'm the spiritual leader and this is what I'm trying to do to lead us back together, but in terms of, boy, did I ever mess up and mm-hmm. cause all this, and you know what? I am crazy about you. I want you. I love you. I want to be with you the rest of my life. That's the and if you don't believe me, look what I did last week. I went to four groups. I wrote this thing. I did that. I made restitution. If you start talking like that, she's going to get interested. But if you don't, it's just going to be what they say, same old, same old.
Right, okay. Right. You're right.
Yeah, less talk, yeah. More walk. Right.
You gotta go at it as if you're not going to get back together, but you're going to do everything to change you so that whether you get back together or you move on to somebody else, you're going to be God's man, and you got to do that regardless of how she responds to you, and keep her informed and keep her up to date in terms of what God is doing in your life. But recognize that she may be on a whole different wavelength, and you're going to continue anyway. You're not going to give up the quest of being God's man.
Mm-hmm. Well,
all right. Okay, I'm going to send you the Restoration Bible. It's got some great stuff in there, but I just can't encourage you more to step it up, and let's see what can happen, because there mm-hmm. are a lot of women, they would move, they would do something different. If they saw versus heard a man talk about wanting to get back together, if they saw what he was mm-hmm. doing, it really would make a huge difference.
Right. Even when they're saying no, they're watching.
Yeah, that's right. If you need some help, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We would love for you to join us in Southern California on October the 5th for 12 Steps to Happier. It's a conference. Dave's going to speak. I'll speak. Jack West, he's the care and recovery pastor over there at Mariners. Amanda Anderson, she's been on the program. Chris Williams, Becky Brown. We're all speaking. It's a great time. We're going to talk about a plan to get happier, foundations of character, doing the next right thing, change your thoughts, relationships that hurt and heal, and the do's and don'ts of how do you be in and run a group. All of that, 12 Steps to Happier. It's all about the life recovery program that can help anyone. 12 steps for anyone. Don't forget, we've got Every Man's Battle coming up in September, right along with Finding Freedom. Why be chained to some behavior from the past? Why be locked in to something that has caused you misery upon misery? Why not find freedom from that? That's what we will help you do. We've been doing it for years. We love it. When guys that come to us, They haven't had one day of sexual integrity and freedom in years, and they leave, and they're on a path, and it changes everything. If you want to be on that path with them as another man of God, you call us right now. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's the phone number, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We want to help you. We want to help your marriage, and guess what? We'll be helping not only those things, but your children also. Because how many times do we talk to people here and we get back to, well, let's talk about how you were raised. It makes all the difference in the world. So call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Don't have to need a workshop. We've got resources. We've got books. We've got videos, all of that, in an effort to provide you with something that literally could transform your life. Now, we do need your help, and if you'll help us, a gift of any amount, I'll send you this book, Kirby McCook. He is that wonderful Bible teacher of what's called the Jesus Chronicles. I think your kids, your grandkids, nieces, and nephews will love it. It's our way of saying thank you. We would love for you to get a copy of this, and you'll look like a hero and hip and cool, and they'll learn that Jesus didn't just show up in a manger. He's been around for a very, very long time. My thanks to all of you who listen, watch, and pray for us, and to Dr. Dave Soup, Jill Hubbard. Thank you for being here. We're going to see you next time right here on New Life Live. We love you. See you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening.
We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.